In today's gospel reading, Jesus talks about the end of the world. I don't know about you, but that frightens me, or at least it has until recently. And we think of, you know, all secrets will be revealed. I got plenty of things I don't want you to know. And one of my friends in high school said, if you die committing a sin, you go straight to hell. And I thought, I have Buckley's chance. Unless the world ends while I'm sleeping, I'm in trouble. So what does Jesus really say? So, you know, there are more than 70 end of the world movies. You can see 70 of them, and they are very frightening. You know, all sorts of horrible things happening. So what does Jesus actually say? He says, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't be alarmed. I'll just say that again. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't be alarmed. These are the beginning of the labor pains. Labor pains. Labor brings joy. Okay? So I was the first generation where husbands were allowed to be in the room. When my wife was in labor, there was only one hospital in St. Louis, and that was a very progressive hospital where husbands could be there. And we saw movies about labor and went through training. I told my wife, the minute you scream, I'm out the door. She did yell, but she didn't scream. Anyway, as labor started, she went, I'm never having any more kids. The moment they put that baby in her arms, the whole world changed. There was that joy that I couldn't even imagine, the joy that she had. And we had six. So, no. Labor brings joy. Labor brings joy. It means the best is yet to come. So when Jesus is talking about labor, he's talking about the best is yet to come. We live in that time between Jesus' resurrection and when he returns. He calls that's living in the labor room. And right now we live at a time when the election was not my favorite result, or I didn't think so. I went to bed quite upset, woke up and went, you know, he probably doesn't do any worse than the others were doing. we are at a time where the world seems to be changing. The world that we've known for the last 80 so years, where, you know, talked about liberal democracy, and the U.S. seemed to be acting like the international police. And now we're at a time where countries are electing dictators. You go, what? It's a different time. Christians have lived through all sorts of different times. And this is our different time. So yes, in some ways, this may be the end of the world as I knew it. We live in the labor pains, and yet the best is yet to come. So when does Jesus say this? This is Holy Week. That means it's only a few days before he's nailed to the cross. And he's in Jerusalem. And the temple was one of the ancient wonders of the world. It was built out of marble. And it had gold leaf on it. You know, on the cooking shows when they had this thin gold foil? They had covered a lot of the building with that thin gold foil. And the writers from the time say when the sun was rising or setting, it was almost blinding light that came from the temple. The temple was on the Temple Mount, and what they had done is King Herod decided to make the mountain bigger. So he put great stones around it, and, you know, it was a retaining wall all around it, so it was actually quite big. It had been a lot smaller in David's day. And the disciples say, look at these huge stones. What are they talking about? The stones of that retaining wall are 13 meters long by 4 meters high. I stepped it out. I measured it yesterday with my phone, imagine. Anyway, that's as long as this building is from there here to the back, and just about as tall as the white there. It's a massive, I have no idea. How could they move these stones? But then again, if you're holding back a mountain, you need big stones. So they're going, wow. And this is kind of where the Wailing Wall is. So the temple was 45 meters tall. That's including the Temple Mount. The building itself wasn't as tall as that. So it's about 15 stories above the city, above the town. It seems solid, trustworthy, impressive. People from around the world came to see this amazing building, sparkling, covered with gold and marble. people would have, the disciples would have liked to have a selfie in front of the temple or in front of the stones. And Jesus says the temple will be destroyed. Their minds are, how could something this massive be destroyed? And why? Isn't this where people meet God? Isn't this where the sacrifices are made for sin? Why would this be destroyed? Because Jesus is the new temple. We meet God in Jesus. He is the sacrifice. That's why we don't make sacrifices anymore. And so the old temple is actually a destruction. God goes, it's gone. Jesus is the new temple. Jesus is the ultimate sacrifice. The disciples are shocked. They cannot believe a world where that temple doesn't stand. So they're going, when is this going to happen? What will be the sign? Jesus is annoyed. You know, oh, this generation is always looking for signs. No one knows the day or the hour. Anyone who tells you that on such and such a date the world will end, buy an airplane ticket that day, you're safe. They're not smarter than Jesus. They can't know what Jesus doesn't know. No one knows the day or the hour. Instead, Jesus talks about life. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. These are the beginning of the labor pains. Labor brings joy, the joy of new life. And yet, there are tough times. We may go through times of persecution. Our culture may be a lot less Christian than it was before. And yet, on planet Earth, there are more Christians than have ever been in human history. And he talks about there'll be earthquakes, famines, cyclones, droughts, floods. This is typical history, isn't it? That's why we talk about, I think that new hurricane in America was a new grade, a number 6. We've been counting them. We count the droughts. A farmer in Freeling told me that this is the driest year we've had in 140 years. We've been counting these things. This is human life. And yet Jesus says the best is yet to come. Jesus, our Savior, will come back. And believers will have the gift of heaven and forgiveness. So how do we live in the labor ward? You know, in the past, some people thought, we'll just sell everything, dress in white sheets, and wait for Jesus to come. Imagine Jesus coming like, what are you guys doing? This is useless. Get out and do something. Use your life. You have gifts and talents. Don't just hang around like this. Jesus says, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. That's our job. As long as we live, we must do the works of him who sent us. And Jesus goes on to say, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. This is how we live in the labor ward. This is how we live in the time between the resurrection and Jesus' return. Because the best is yet to come, and it's our job to make that happen and also to help people in the labor room. There were many sisters who came in and helped us in the labor room that first time. Jesus is our Savior. You've been judged already. It's not like we're worried that one day God's going to read a big list of all the things we've done wrong. That's gone already. We did that already in this service. It's been wiped clean by the blood of the Lamb. You've been judged already. You've been approved already. You have a reservation. You have a place in heaven already. Jesus says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me, which means anyone who comes to the Father comes through Jesus. Through Jesus, we can all come to the Father. And again, in John 3:18, it says, there is no judgment against anyone who believes in Jesus. Hear that again. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in Jesus. Don't worry in difficult circumstances. Yes, we will go through times where partners are sick, die, or family members are unemployed, or there will be years when there are poor harvest. We will have health problems of various sorts. This is not, in some senses, this is not God's plan. We live in a broken world, and yet I'm broken too. Paul says, the good that I want to do, I don't do, and the evil that I don't want to do is exactly what I do. Paul's saying he's broken. I'm broken. But death is not the end. Death is a door to life. Revelation says, he will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more grief, no more crying, no more pain. The old things have disappeared. Yes, I am broken, but I have hope in Christ. I have forgiveness in Christ. I have a reservation in heaven in Christ. Death is swallowed up by victory. And so at the graveside, the pastor says, our dead and decaying bodies will be changed into bodies that won't die or decay. Death has lost the battle. Where is its victory? Where is its sting? But thank God for letting our Lord Jesus Christ give us the victory. So Jesus says, we're in the delivery room. We're in the labor room. But it's the promise of good things. So while I used to be terrified of the thought of ending of the world, particularly when my friend said, if you die committing a sin, straight to hell, I think I've finally grown up in my faith. I think I mentioned recently that on our way back from Canberra, we were having our plane was having difficulties, mechanical difficulties, and it sounded really bad. And I thought, oh well, who cares? I've had a great life. I'm ready to go. That is a total flip-flop from my being terrified that Christ would return to go like, yeah, he's forgiven me, I have a place. There's a time that we finally get to that. And it's funny, people who are told that they have a terminal illness often come to that place where they're ready to go and at peace. And the family, we're the ones who have the difficulty. But the person who's been told this, like, yeah, they finally go that, yeah, I'm ready to go. I have a place in heaven, a new, a young, a strong, a forever body. So what do we do to survive during the rough times? Luther said, whatever all seemed lost, he said to Melanchthon, let's sing Psalm 46, and we'll say that together. God is our refuge, God is our refuge and strength, and a very present help in trouble. We will not be afraid, even though the earth is shaken and mountains fall into the ocean depths. Nations are terrified, kingdoms are shaken, God thunders and the earth dissolves. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob